For what it's worth, Lee, folks texting me. Tara, as busy as the polls are this morning, I cannot wait to see tomorrow when the Democrats vote what the turnout's like. Yeah, no.
Funny.
Okay, no. And for real. Texter writes, I was at Reedville Elementary, got there at 6:30 a.m., number 10 in line. By the time I voted at 7:05, it looked like 75 in line. And people walking in when I walked to my truck, big for this small town. Another texter writes, Tara, I got in line to vote at 6:30 this morning. My wife was number 22. I was number 23. By the time we finished voting, I would say there was close to 150 people waiting in line to vote. Red wave, let's hope. Texter writes, Tara, did you ever get a response from our prosecutor, Walt Wilkins, after the Marchant call a couple of days ago? I did. They have declined to come on the show, which I think is a shame. I told them I would do a very fair interview, and you know I don't have a dog in that fight, and you know really wanted to get his side of the gun story. I hate to have to use the Greenville News; it pains me greatly to do that. So you know I had hoped that he would come on the show, but no such luck. So that's where we're at. Okay. Meanwhile, Lee, I want to play this again because I want to put everything into perspective. Okay, if the Democrats take the House tonight, the media will say, "Ha, blue wave, major victory." Well, no, what? Hold on. Okay. Right now, the forecast is, we'll see if it bears out, that the Republicans hold the Senate, okay? If the Republicans hold the Senate, that alone will be an historic victory for Donald Trump. Here is Kayleigh McEnany with the RNC explaining, putting all of this into context before the media hopelessly twists it out of proportion this evening.
There is a reasonable chance that the Republicans lose the House, but there still could be, you know, that could still be considered a success. Do you think what, under 30 seats would be considered a success and still lose the House?
No doubt, yeah. Especially when you consider the fact that only four times has the party holding the White House gained seats in the Senate, right, during the president's first midterms. We are going to gain seats. So President Trump has already made history should we gain seats in the Senate. You're right to say, should we lose the House narrowly, a few seats?
That's still a victory in some ways.
It's a victory. The average loss is 32 seats when you go back to 1832. So, you know, if we lose marginally and gain in the Senate, that's history, and that's President Trump.
Okay, so I want to put all that in perspective. Just if they win the Senate, that, again, has only happened four times. The average loss is about 30-some seats. And on top of all of that, I mean, if you look at Obama's first midterms, which they surely will not this evening if the Democrats take the House, Obama lost 60 seats in his first midterm election. So I want to provide that background as the poll results come in this evening. Of course, we'll be anchoring that live, me, Vince, and Bobby Mack, starting at 7 p.m. This evening. And I want to get you to react to this too, Lee, okay? And I don't want to give people false hope or anything this morning, but very interesting out there, what it looks like. I pulled up the Real Clear Politics,
right,
generic average. This is the day before the 2016 election when we kept the House, right? And you have plus three Democrat, plus seven Democrat, plus four Democrat, all over the board. Here we go. This is NBC News plus three Democrats. Fox News had Republicans up one. Economist YouGov have Democrats up three, right? Okay, well, the latest polling that has come out on this overnight shows the Democrats plus three again. This is Morning Consult Politico. But it's plus three among registered voters, not likely voters. When you go to likely voters, you get a more conservative outcome, a more pro-Republican outcome. So if that poll is accurate and it's plus three registered voters, it's probably going to be more like plus one likely voters or flat, dead tie, if that poll is correct. I'm looking at this. There's a lot of hope here and a lot of reason not to let the media do the psych job on you that the Democrats already have the House won, because they do not. As in 2016, this is American Thinker, the divergence between Rasmussen and other polling outfits is striking. Rasmussen's latest pre-election poll published today has an astonishing plus one generic ballot advantage for Republicans. If Rasmussen's results are remotely accurate, prediction of today's outcome, it would be time to hide the razor blades and sharp instruments in liberal households, because disproportionate concentration of Democrat voters in urban centers means that normally Democrats must be up around plus seven on the generic congressional ballot to win the House even narrowly.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of hope out there. Yeah. This is all over the place. You've got Democrat pollster Nate Silver saying, don't be surprised if the Democrats only win 19 seats in the House, additional seats, and don't take the House. That would mean the Republican majority would shrink, but the Democrats wouldn't take the House. They point out, on the other hand, all the other polling organizations are apparently scrutinizing an entirely different universe of assumed voters. Last polls, ABC, Washington Post have the Dems up 8 in the generic ballot. NBC, Wall Street Journal, which was way off, they were like off by like 10 points in 2016, had the Dems up by 7. And CNN has the Dems up by 13. So this is all over the board. And I just provide this to you to show that nobody knows what's happening. There is not a unified opinion on this.
You know, and here's the thing that I've just been thinking about, it, and it seems kind of odd to me.
Okay.
The Senate, all those senators run statewide.
Yes.
They're talking about an increase in Senate seats for Republicans. They're talking about maybe to 55, which means a majority of Americans are voting Republican.
Yeah.
And that's the popular vote.
Yeah, it would have to be.
Because the Senate is statewide. It is not by congressional district or House districts. And you know, I think what we're seeing here is, particularly with the Democrats, you're seeing, you know, the municipalities, the urban areas, those people being turned out. And because, I mean, those are some very small geographic areas. I mean, you've got districts that can probably be just a few blocks, for crying out loud. Whereas you may have some precincts in some of the outlying areas and some of the counties in the upstate that could be, you know, miles wide and not that populated. But, you know, what we're seeing here, if the Senate goes Republican and we've got a Republican president, why are we still having these issues with the House?
I thought of that. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
I just find it interesting because, you know, they keep claiming how, well, Hillary won the popular vote. Hillary won the popular vote. Well, you know what? Republicans won the popular vote in the Senate, and they still have it, and they may increase it. So what does that mean?
I don't know.
It's trying to stump the host.
I'm afraid to predict anything
here. I know. I am. Hesitant. I did get this email from John Turner from Salute to Service, sent this in, said, voted on the way to work this morning, going to polling, Summit Drive Elementary at 6:55. There was at least 130 people before. That's 5 minutes before the polls open. 6:55, 5 minutes before polls open, 130 people or so ahead of me. Steady flow of voters coming into the building. Poll workers doing a great job. Line moved smoothly. No issues with voting machines as far as I could see. The entire pit stop took me about 25 minutes. Chatting with a few folks standing in line who lived and voted at Summit Drive for a while. All of us surprised. Kind of surprised that it was this busy. Good to see people turning out. Once again, John Turner from Salute to Service. And we salute him for his service and also for the program, too. And thanks for sending that in, John.
Amen to that. Yeah. Love John, too. Love the show.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, this has got to stop. I mean, have you seen this, Lee? Well, I know you've seen
and
this.
We love Chuck,
sent it
too,
to me.
By the way.
Yes, we do.
We don't want to.
We just like John better. Yes. No, I'm just kidding. No, we don't. Actually, I just had to say that. I want to get to this. Did you see this? Twitter is now deleting accounts at the request of the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee.
Okay, if that's true.
No, that's Reuters. Reuters reported
Reuters
that. Yes.
That's.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
How does a political party get to have a say in what? Now, maybe they're turning them in, but once again, to be at the request. Well, I wonder if there's any been requested by the Republican Party.
Reuters is silent on that. Meanwhile, we're talking about Orwellian. This is terrifying. This has got to end. We have got to have some sort of antitrust situation here. We lose the House, the Democrats. We have no hope. We will be totally silenced by 2020 at this rate. You sent this to me. This stood my hair on end. When you're looking at YouTube, which is owned by Google,
mm-hmm.
YouTube, recruiting good creators.
Yes.
They're called Creators for Change. They literally take them and put them through a summer camp. They are all liberals.
Every single dang one of them.
They just graduated the first class of 47 creators. And their job is, once we censor things we don't like, we're going to put alternative messages that we do like and put them in, you know, give them to you in your search so that you can't see what we don't like. Well, what kind of stuff does YouTube feel they must censor? Here's their exact words. There are a lot of these really positive voices, and we wanted to elevate these voices, whether it's dealing with LGBTQ issues, xenophobia, Islamophobia, or bullying, says YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki. You go through all their first class of Creators for Change. I should say propagandists for change is more like it. Every one of them is a liberal. Every last one. So you're not only going to find our accounts taken down and our voices silenced, you will have the opposing view rammed down your throat. It's got to stop.
Yeah.
It has to end. And the reason why, Lee, is people don't understand this, because we are capitalists at heart on our side of the aisle, on the conservative side of the aisle. But what people don't get is that the way you used to reach your constituency as recently as 15 years ago was local newspapers, local television stations. Google, YouTube, Facebook has taken over 60% of that revenue. It is crippling your ability to get stuff out. And guess where you got to spend money now if you want to reach people politically? And you got to spend it with Google, YouTube, and Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, now they're exercising a veto we have never had in this country before. We've never had it. They can't be allowed to do that. That would be as if we brought some liberal group into the Greenville market saying, nope, you're not going to be able to advertise over there on Channel 4 and no advertising on WORD. Says who? Says we. We say, here, listen to this guy. You have no choice. You can either walk away from the computer or listen to liberal propaganda. It's got to end. It's getting worse every day. Some of y'all still don't get it. You just, no matter how many times I explain it, you can't understand. And so I'll try again. Texter writes, newsflash, Google and YouTube are services. You don't have to use them. You can find other search engines, other video content, and other ways to reach your constituents. No, you can't. No, you can't. I mean, sure, you can, but nobody will see it. That's the problem. 60% of what used to be media ad revenue is now on three sources. Facebook, YouTube, and Google. Why is that? Because over 60% of Americans now get their information from where? Social media. If you aren't there, they will not see it. Hello? See, it used to be, you know, if you're running for office in a place, right? You could go, and if some, for some reason one of the news stations, local news stations, isn't taking any political ads, no big deal. You could go down the street to the other one or the newspaper. Here at WORD, if we opt to take a single political advertisement, we must take them all. Democrat, Republican, we agree, we disagree, doesn't matter. We always get flack this time of year. Why are you running that ad? It's awful. It's wrong. They're lying. Look, we agree to take all ads. That's federal regulations. And they apply to everybody but Google. That's the problem. I don't know why this is so hard for folks to understand. We did not have a censor bubble over Greenville 15 years ago, heck, even 12 years ago, with some liberal organization going, no, we don't like your ad. Nope, you can't hear it in this market. Sorry, you're not going to be able to compete. We've never had that before. I don't know why that is so hard for people to understand. They've got to go use DuckDuckGo. Well, listen, I hope in time they'll become an alternative, but they're not now. You cannot have censors deciding what goes and what does not according to their politics. It is also an antitrust violation. A lot of these folks that are being censored, as I just explained, like by YouTube, make their money online. We have never said to, you know, had a bubble over Greenville where folks go and look at the politics of dry cleaning companies and say, nope, can't open a dry cleaner here. That's what we got right now. That's what we have. And to watch YouTube do that, this is terrifying. I mean, when you literally had in 2016 YouTube reaching out to 11 million Hispanics and targeting them with ads and propaganda to get them rides to the polls. That is a massive violation of federal law. That's a massive in-kind donation. They got away with it. Now they're going one step further. They are creating classes of propagandists. They're called good creators. They're training them. The first class graduated 4,700% liberal. And they say, well, it's a diverse group. Well, what they mean is liberals of different persuasions, gay, Muslim, you know, Hindu, blah, 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 all liberals. And here's what they do. They are going to censor the voices they don't like and replace the messages with other messages by their propagandists, particularly dealing, they say, with LGBT issues, xenophobia, Islamophobia, or bullying. Folks, this is the square. This is the town square. This is somebody having control over the town square. When you take that high a percentage of revenue And you managed to funnel into one place, YouTube, Facebook, Google, all of the folks who used to partake of media, and you take their ad revenue, and then you tell people who can and can't advertise in a way that is not, with rules that do not apply to folks like us, we have to take all ad revenue. That gives you godlike power. You can't have that kind of control over speech, but yet they do. Today, America takes one big fat IQ test. Or maybe it's a test to see to which degree we've been brainwashed. Or maybe it's just a common sense test. Never before has a political environment been more absurd. Has it not? I mean, you would think, let me read this to you, it's from PJ Media. You would think that with all the economic indicators at or near all-time highs, with the New York Times reporting that this is the best wage market for workers in 50 years. The New York Times. Unemployment at an all-time low, notably for minorities and women. Wages rising as they haven't since the 1960s. The country at peace. ISIS defeated, at least the caliphate anyway, defeated. No longer able to hold land. When Trump took office, the caliphate was 30,000 strong. It no longer exists. And an incredible, indeed unprecedented, number of presidential accomplishments in 20 months. This election would be the proverbial no-brainer for voters. But no. The president tweets too much, is a bragger, insults people, is a totalitarian, a racist, a sexist, a homophobe, a xenophobe. Blah, 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 blah. Never mind, what he actually does provides no evidence of any of this. Indeed, often proves the opposite. But he has bad manners. The country must throw him and his party out so we can go back to the way it was, because it was great. We are all suffering together. The media says so, and it has to be. This is, quote, can't stand prosperity, unquote, on steroids. It is a country shooting itself in the foot to please a group of elites whose sensibilities are offended, and even more, who are driven by envy and lust for power. And I might add, a heartfelt desire to decrease wages until we are all practically slaves to them. But then I digress. They want to do this with immigration. What is on offer instead for a surprising number is none other than socialism. The political theory that has led to the impoverishment of the masses and mass murder by the millions, unparalleled in human history. But I mean, other than that, it's fabulous. You'd love it. It's really good. See what I mean by about an IQ test. That's what we're taking today. We're taking an IQ test. Now, listen to this. They go on to write, and they're right about this. The United States is in the strongest position it has been in possibly since its inception, but it is tearing itself apart like a nation on the brink of a civil war. I would agree with that, by the way, just because of the energy wealth we have now is the greatest we've ever had. Yeah, tearing itself apart like a nation on the brink of a civil war. It is compared to virtually all of human history and to most of the rest of the world, most citizens, even many non-citizens in the USA, have more white, brown, black, yellow privilege than could have been conceived of in any halfway rational utopian dream, and it's only getting better. Yet vast numbers of people are at each other's throats, not to mention families and friends, riven across the country. Imagine if there really were a problem, how things would be. On second thought, maybe we need a problem. Nevertheless, here we are in the land of, quote, can't stand prosperity, unquote. Soon enough, we will know how true that is. Yeah, it's one big national IQ test today. That is where we are. It's maddening. It's maddening. By the way, are we in a civil war? Of course not. But we could be. We could be soon. Are we? Going to read one of the most compelling takes on that I have ever read from somebody who witnessed the Civil War in Buenos Aires. It says it doesn't look like what most Americans think it will look like. That's coming up. But first, let's hear from Janet in Mayo.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Keep America great.
Yes, keep America great again and again and again.
I just wanted to pass on some voting numbers in my local community. Mm-hmm. I live in Mayo, South Carolina, and I was number 85 this morning at 8 o'clock.
So how's that compared to how it is usually, you know?
Usually I walk right in, I'm number 10.
We're hearing that all over the upstate.
So I'm very excited that all the Trump supporters that came out in 16 are back again today. I believe it.
Was that the feel of it? That's who that was? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I had to come home and unfurl my flag that was all wet. So my Trump flag is waving in the wind.
Oh, good. An irritant to many who pass by, no doubt, Janet. Thank you for your phone call and for listening to the show. Love to know what you're seeing out there at the polls, which opened at 7 a.m. this morning. You can text me, 71307. Meanwhile, and folks, it wasn't even 3 years ago. 3 years ago, GOP candidates, Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, Marco Rubio. We're running on globalization. Globalization is a Bush. Globalization is good. We need globalism. Globalization. We need it. We need globalism. What is that? You know, globalism. It's great. What is it really, though? As recently as 3 years ago, Republican candidates in Republican primaries were preaching the wonders of globalization. You've heard the word a million times. Great. You can't resist it. You should. It's wonderful. We need to be prepared for it. And I, as a candidate, will help us. What is it? Oh, you know. Everybody knows. If you don't know, it's because you're dumb. Educate yourself. I don't have to define globalism. Yes, they were running on it in Republican freaking primaries. What is it? Nobody ever defines it. Texter writes, does globalism have anything to do with the Bush's New World Order? Bingo. Yes, it does. It is exactly New World Order. And what New World Order was, as Bush 1 proposed it, was world government. The gradual erasure of sovereignty, borderless societies that are merely geographic regions, all of them with allegiance to one world government, because it's just good for you. Well, Chinese Communist Party leader Xi Jinping made the mistake of actually finally defining globalism. Trump has him so scrambled. I think that's why that happened. What does he say it is? Keep in mind, as I read this, this to you, what Xi Jinping has said, Rubio, Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, George Bush, all praise globalism or ran on or preach some form of getting the U.S. ready for it. But what is it? Yeah, Xi Jinping says the people must accept globalism. It is the gradual erasure of our borders. And this is the key part. He just gave a big speech on this. That history would leave behind those who don't go along with globalism, namely those sticking to policies benefiting their own countries. See? Finally defined globalism. Globalism is where you get rid of policies that benefit your own country, your own people, and you do things that, you know, hurt them in service of a greater goal, which is world government, which we need because, well, nobody knows why. We just need it. It started with Bush. I'm telling you, this has always been what it is. Have you noticed nobody says globalism anymore on the right? Republican primaries. They don't. It's a kiss of death. Because Trump told us, essentially, that it was a bad thing. Well, it is helpful that one of them who knows, again, Chinese Communist Party leader Xi Jinping, has finally defined globalism. Now you know what it is, and you know what they had in store. This is why they never defined it on the Republican campaign trail. Texter writes, Walter Cronkite said that the U.S. will have to give up some sovereignty. It would be a bitter pill for us. He made this address to the U.N. in 1969. He was one of these globalists. Yep. And so were a lot of the leaders of the Republican Party through 2016. Oh, boy. Texter writes, what is WORD going to do for ad revenue when Guy Fieri spots and tomorrow? I don't know. I think they're in a panic down there in the sales pit. I'm sure they'll work something out. Texter writes, it is a political strategy to confuse voters or some law, but why don't any of the yard signs we see around here show the party? I don't know. Not sure. Okay. Finally, we're going to jump on the line with Steve in Simpson. But this is a major moment, by the way, for somebody, any world leader to define globalism. And Xi Jinping just screwed up and did it. Steve in Simpsonville, good morning.
Good morning, and you're exactly right, but it's an end times thing. It's a biblical proportions thing, and that's what the Lord put in the Word all those years ago through John the Revelator. We have to understand that the Antichrist can't take over until such a time as everyone's on the same page. And that will all culminate with the mark. That's just the way it is.
Oh,
DeMarco, they don't believe any of that stuff, but I'm here to tell you it's on its way. It's a matter of time, not if, but when it happens.
Okay, well, and so I think you're talking about the Mark of the Beast. Okay, I don't know specifically if that is all going to happen in that way, but you will feel like you've been smashed down by that beast, or a beast, when you are steamrolled by globalism. And by the way, you know what was creepy about it? And this is very much a speech reminiscent of the first George Bush's New World Order. You know what he said in the speech he just gave? Globalism is an overarching trend, something that is independent of the people's will, and it will happen whether we like it or not. You know what the purpose of globalism is? Let me break this down and make it simple for you. It does not improve economics for anybody on the globe. It's not the new wave economically. It's not a good thing for anybody involved. It does not raise the economic prospects of people. We've seen that as America has rebelled against it, and we single-handedly have raised the world GDP. Now, it's none of that. You know what globalism is? Globalism is one big freaking plan to steamroll the Bill of Rights because it is the only thing standing in the way of world government. And so in order to get at the Bill of Rights, they have to get at our sovereignty and they have to get at our borders. It's that simple. That's why this is what globalism is. Erode the sovereignty, erode the borders, make the country meaningless, confuse people as to what the borders of the country are, demolish the Bill of Rights. That's what it's about. It's the only thing standing between us and them. And Republicans were running on it as recently as 3 years ago. Yeah. Texter writes, we already have the Mark of the Beast. It's called your IP address. Okay, this is turning into the overnight program, folks. Let's deal in the reality of the moment, shall we? Yeah. Texter writes, globalism sounds a lot like what J. Edgar Hoover termed the international communist conspiracy. It's all those things. Call it what you like. It is the only way they've come up with to demolish the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which is ultimately standing in their way. Can't have globalism without America. Got to steamroll America.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.